Heavenly Father, we come just with thankfulness again this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for allowing us to be together here in this way. Thank you for your Spirit here in our midst again this morning, Father. Thank you for bringing to us again a convicting word, Father, a word from you, Father. You in your love and in your mercy, you continue to draw us, you continue to work in our hearts, and you continue to chasten us as needed, Father, and we're very thankful. We just ask, Father, that you'd be here now as we look into your word, that you would open it up to us, Father. We need your help here, and we pray for guidance and direction. Thank you for this opportunity, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What do we do? Greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's been a real blessing being here this morning already. We want to thank the young people or those of you that shared. I don't know why I use that term. I don't feel like I'm old, so I'm not sure why I say that. But I was too old to go to be a student at the Bible school, though I was. So I guess I'm not old. But it's thought of that. So anyway, thank you for sharing. I was thinking that this is actually working out pretty well with stretching out the sharing. I think that's actually, maybe we'll do that some more. I think that's profitable for me. Helps to bring it back to remembrance again here after several weeks. And so maybe we can do some more of that next Sunday due to this snowstorm. But so if we want to turn on our Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Verse 15. Mark 2:15, and the disciples of John and of the Pharisees maybe I should have backed up a little bit. Let's start in verse 15. Okay, that's where I wanted to start. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners also sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, and there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they came and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine in old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. We'll stop reading there, and then we'll read a similar passage in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 36. Again, the question was asked about the fasting. And then verse 36, he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. So, been meditating some on this parable that Jesus gave. Did feel like didn't know that maybe didn't feel like I was necessarily prepared to preach on it. So I don't know if we'll get everything out of it that we should, and if we don't, maybe we can do part two later. But we are living in a religious world, and that might seem like a strange thought. In some ways, maybe we think we aren't. We actually are. It's a very religious world for the most part. And so I'd like to preach this. I'd like to give us some thoughts here, probably in the context of reaching out. And so we may end up with some questions. Maybe we can have some discussion on it. But reaching out into a religious world, and then I have some thoughts on this little parable that Jesus gave here. New wine in new wineskins. The thought here on new wine or wine that is in the fermenting stage, or in other words, in this stage, it's alive. It's fermenting. It's working. There's something happening. It's changing. And so Jesus gives this parable. He says, if you put this new wine, if you put this wine in an old bottle, an old bottle, they would use bottles made from animal skins or whatever, and the bottles would get more rigid and firm. It would kind of be more fixed. And then the fermenting of this wine would likely burst it. It wouldn't be able to contain it. And in that case, both the bottle and the wine was lost. Jesus said here, the bottle is marred, and the contents are lost. And so, if you remember in Acts chapter 2, new wine was something that was, so it was fermenting. It was, probably would have been considered, would have an effect on it, would be alcoholic, I'm assuming, because in Acts chapter 2, the disciples, as Peter began to preach there, and began to speak the gospel, the accusation is made that these men are full of new wine. These men have, they must be drinking, right? That seems to me the context there. Well, we know they weren't. So Jesus gives us here this, and I think the first meaning or the first thought we should be getting from this is that Jesus is, I think this is very much how it is and what he meant. But we like to get into it just a little deeper then. But I think Jesus was telling them that there is a change coming. We are entering into something new. The gospel era is going to be, there's going to be different. In other words, they're making the comparison of the disciples of John and of the disciples of the Pharisees, and Jesus is trying to prepare them for something new, something that is going to be different, something that's going to be alive. The gospel message is going to be different The gospel era is going to be different from what they are accustomed to with their rituals and their sacrifices and their and of course, like we know, there were men like David and those who had found some reality, had found more reality, but for the most part, most of them were finding just a law, just something that they clung to that wasn't really doing much for them. A religious world. It was a religious world. It was a very religious world. So, we have been talking some, Brother Barry's been talking some about law and grace. So the outward thought here is that Jesus is teaching here that the gospel is going to bring something new. It's not going to, the new wine must be put in a new wineskin or in a new context. It's not going to, and we know that there was a struggle with this. The gospel was not coming as an addition to the law. It was not coming as that. They were, and they, some were trying to do that. They tried later to do that with it, right? They were trying to add the gospel to the law, and Paul obviously was dealing with that. But Jesus is saying here that the new wine of the gospel, the reality of the Spirit of God, the reality of conviction in the heart, of true repentance, of power and life, the realities of peace and joy and love, those realities will conflict with the law. In fact, it's not something you can just put together in the same bottle. The thing will burst. It doesn't work. But as I meditated on this, I thought about, this is something that has happened many times. And I just thought that this phenomenon, this thing happens, so part of the burden of this is thinking of taking the gospel out into a religious world. When the promise of the gospel is desired, but the heart is not prepared to receive it. New wine is endeavored to put in old wineskins, and it doesn't work. And we heard some things this morning that Brother Barry asked the question: Why would anyone sign up for a religion that makes me look good, but doesn't do anything for me inside? Why would anyone sign up for that? Well, that would happen because I've been told that's the truth. I would have been told that's all there is. That's why men would sign up for that. And the gospel has been lost. And it happens. This happens many, many times. Notice this, that when the bottle bursts, not only does the bottle destroyed, but the wine is lost. The new wine, that which was precious, or that which was thought to be of value, is now gone. Both are destroyed. So the new wine must be put in new wineskins. Jesus is teaching us here. So, the Jewish people, they were desiring, they were looking for Messiah, right? They were looking for him. They were waiting for Messiah. They were expecting Messiah to come. And John was sent to prepare them for it. John was sent to them to bring them a message of repentance that might prepare them for the gospel or for the Messiah. Now some did respond, and they did end up receiving him, but most of the, it seems like many of their leaders were not. So let's read here in Luke chapter 3, the message that John brought. Luke chapter 3, verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that therefore which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So John came preaching a message of repentance, and it was to prepare the people for the gospel, for Messiah. And so I ask this question, and I think we know the answer to this. And then we should be asking, what do we do about it? But it's a reality that in a religious world that we live in, everyone wants the benefits of the gospel. No one wants to go to hell. Everyone would want to go to heaven. And however, many times people are, how to say this? People are encouraged to try to claim the gospel or to just believe the gospel or just receive it by faith, or I don't know the different terms that are used, but if the heart is not repentant, if the heart is not prepared for the gospel, then we are putting new wine in old wineskins. And it makes a soul, a heart that is not fully repentant and ready to receive the gospel, is very vulnerable to deception. Very vulnerable to deception, in which both the soul and the gospel are lost. Because then that becomes the gospel that they take. Both the wine and the wineskin are lost. Consider with me. Think with me the Dark Ages. So it started with Constantine, the ruler there that, I think you all know the account there, but he was going into battle and he desired the blessing of God. He wanted the blessing of God, which is very common. Everyone wants the blessing of God, right? And so he baptized this entire army and all of that. Confusion happened. But throughout the Dark Ages, it plunged the whole world into what is called the Dark Ages, where there's this form of Catholicism, and it is mind-boggling to me that for 1,000 years, great masses of people walked around in darkness, unable to find the light of the gospel. Now, there were little pockets, there were little groups, we can read about them, who found light and served the Lord, and there was these little groups here and there. But it is mind-boggling to me that people, they went through the motions, they wanted the blessing of God, they were superstitious, they were afraid of bad things happening, and wanted to serve God, and unable to find Him. It's just mind-boggling to me. But the wine was lost for generations, and it went on that way for generations. Now many of us are thinking of a lot of things here as I'm saying these things. Many of us have seen things. And in all of that, there was awful things happening. Selfish men mishandling the gospel. Some would sell the forgiveness of sins to people. They would, for money, offer people the forgiveness of sins and take their money. There's just awful things happen. And people would do it because they didn't know better. We should highly value the light of the gospel. I don't know. We can take it for granted, I think. So men, now I don't understand all of that, because I would believe that where there's a real love for truth, God will somehow meet that need, but if men are so deceived that they don't even know there is an absolute truth, and that all there is superstition, then how can they even have a love for truth, and how can they even seek after it? Darkness gets really dark. Then we have the Reformation. We have the light coming. We have some men begin to read the Bible, and there's light that comes into the situation. There is more light. And again, all of this is caused by the inner drawing of God in the inner man, the drawing of God, and men know that there's a God, and they seek after Him. It's God puts that there. God is continuing to try to calling man back to Himself. We heard some about that this morning. So again, we have men reading the Bible, men seeing the gospel, reading about the gospel. They read the promises of the gospel, and they see that there is much promise to us in the gospel, and they desire those things. They long for it. They want it. And they do radical things in the Reformation. They do radical things, breaking away from the Catholic Church and doing radical things in an effort to try to get back to the gospel. But alas... years later, Martin Luther would say that Germany was no more holy after the Reformation than before. Both the people and the gospel lost. Why? Why? Well, I think history would tell us it's why. It seems that while there was a desire for the benefits of the gospel, there was not a fully repentant heart to truth, to all truth. And reformers came face to face with truth. Men would bring truth to them and ask them questions. And Martin Luther is supposedly at one point said, well, that's maybe true, and that's maybe the way it should be, but we're not ready for it now. There's no people for it. We can't do that now. We can't at this time make a separation of church and state. We can't at this time strive for a pure church and holy and so in those compromises, the bottle bursts and the wine, the new wine of the gospel is again lost to vast masses of people. I know this maybe sounds discouraging. I don't mean for it to. There's a lot of positive things that we could talk about too, that happened along with all those things. But with that doctrine, we ended up with exactly what Jude talked about, where Jude said that they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And so now now we have a great multitude of people who are claiming the promises of God, but it is all humanistic and man-centered, and it's all about us and us getting to heaven. And at the core of it, it is putting the gospel into the old heart. That's at the core of it. There's not a new heart. There needs to be a new heart that will receive the gospel, where the gospel can work. The gospel is something alive. It will work. It's like the new wine. It ferments. It brings change. There's growth that happens, but the heart needs to be made new in repentance before that can happen. So the result is humanism and a man-centered gospel that where God does everything and He's taking us all to heaven, and we'll just praise Him for it. And the new wine must be put in new wineskins. So in a dead and formal religion, the expectation of holiness, there's a desire for holiness, there's an expectation of holiness, but it creates strife and hypocrisy in a dead and formal religion because the heart has not been made new. And there's the expectation of the gospel is there. We know there should be holiness. We know there should be righteousness in our lives. But because we are unable to do it, it creates strife and hypocrisy. And love and grace and the peace and joy and the things that really fulfill are never found. In reaction, men try to claim the promise of the gospel without an expectation of holiness. Both are the results of trying to fit the gospel into an old heart and a heart that has not been made new. And in the end, all is lost, even the gospel. In the end, all is lost, even the gospel. Lost through dead formal religion, and then also lost in licentiousness and disobedience. Let's read in Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 24, "For I will take you out from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Verse 31. Then shall you remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. We heard some about that this morning. A hatred for those things that were defiling us. A new heart. This was God's plan. This was God's plan for the gospel, was a new heart. This is a prophecy of the gospel, that there would be a new heart, a soft, repentant heart, one that can receive the gospel, one that is able to turn in obedience to the law of God, one that is able to humble themselves so my question today is, as we take the gospel out, we have this desire to see men be saved. We have this desire to see them embrace the gospel. We have a desire to know for sure that they will go to heaven when they die. We long to see that happen. But we dare not put the new wine in old wineskins. And so I was pondering these things, so maybe I have more questions than answers. But there needs to be, I was thinking of Mark chapter 8, the parable of the soils, very, very familiar. You don't have to turn to that, but maybe it's 12. Can't lay my eyes on it here. Is it Mark chapter 4, maybe? 4? Okay, thank you. The parable of the soils here. So I was thinking about this in the parable of the soils here. Verse 14, Mark 4, verse 14. And the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise that are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they on which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. The gospel grows, the gospel works, the new wine has freedom to work, the new wine can bring forth fruit in good soil, in the good ground, where the ground is the rocks are broken up, the rocks are, and the thorns are plucked out. We have several examples of this happening. We have the example of Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted the gospel. They wanted this message of life, and they wanted it. They wanted to be part of this. They wanted in, right? They wanted in. And it seems like there was a lack of repentance, a lack of something, a lack of, I don't know what else to call it. Lack of integrity. Someone shared on that this morning. But a lack of being real, a lack of fully surrendering, a lack of, and we know the outcome of that. There's also the example in Acts 8, I think it is, of Simon, the example of Simon, who wanted the gospel. He wanted the power of the gospel. He wanted he wanted in on this thing. But his heart was impure. He did, but he didn't. So that brings some questions. How do we bring a message that prepares the heart for the gospel? How are we able? First of all, in our own lives, we're not excluding ourselves here this morning. Though maybe that wasn't the focus of the message. We're not wanting to exclude ourselves. But I thought of Jeremiah 23. Thought of Jeremiah 23. And this is encouraging to me. Remember that at the end of our parable, at the end of our passage, Jesus said that no man immediately desires the new wine, because he says the old is better. The natural man does not immediately, unless he's at the very end of himself the first time he hears it, does not immediately embrace a message of the cross. The natural man just doesn't do that. No man immediately desires the new wine because he says the old is better. That's simple enough. This is what I'm used to. This is what we've always had. As for him or so. This is the way we've done it. So no man immediately desires the new wine. But Jeremiah says here in chapter 23, verse 29, "Is not my word as a fire, saith the Lord, and as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Is not my word, he said. And so I would like to encourage us here, and I think even with recent experiences here, it seems like there needs to be a willingness on our part to continue to bring the word of God, even when there doesn't seem to be anything happening. Even when there doesn't, I know it's a good thing, and there's a place for handing out a gospel tract. There's people that we'll never see again. Maybe you're passing them by, maybe the gas pump or someplace, and you hand them a gospel tract, and God can use that. It may be. But most generally, people are going to need repeated exposure to the truth, to break the rock into pieces. "Is not my word as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Hosea 10, verse 12. Excuse me. Hosea 10, verse 12. "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." You know, people can be encouraged. You know, we know We know what it, how it works. The old pasture field that's not really producing much of anything anymore. If you will break it up, if you will turn it over, if you will plow it and work on it, it can be made very productive. And sometimes, and I think just to encourage, but there's, I realize that as I'm sharing this, I don't have all the answers to these things, but just an encouragement to us that the Word of God is able to prepare the heart for the gospel. I know that we know that, but let's be careful. Maybe a warning, maybe let's be careful about easily. I've seen this in life, trying to easily console people with the gospel, easily let's encourage them to seek the Lord, to break up the fallow ground till He come and rain righteousness upon you. A new heart is needed. So, for us this morning, here's some questions. Can the new heart become hardened? Can the new heart become hardened? How? I think there's a verse in Hebrews that says that the deceitfulness of sin has hardening effect. The deceitfulness of sin, lukewarmness has a hardening effect. Disobedience has a hardening effect. And so I think of the question was asked this morning, the thought was given about Christianity or about it not lasting more than two generations. It would be important. It would be important that every generation has the opportunity to keep the new wine in a new wineskin. If our heart grows hard, you see, because here's what we do, and I've seen this in life. Here's what we do. We still want the promises, right? So we don't throw it all away. But the heart is hard, and there's no longer the conviction is no longer happening. The repentance, the willingness to quickly repent and to walk with God, those things grow cold, but we still cling to the promises, and then we pass that on to the next generation. That becomes the gospel that gets passed on. And so every generation has its responsibility to keep the new wine in a new wineskin, a soft, repentant heart. I'd like to close here with a couple of verses here as an encouragement. May it always, so it was shared up here this morning, may we never lose the wonder. I think we need to continue to grow. We need to continue to press forward, or we lose the wonder. I'll read a passage here. These are familiar. I'll just close with a couple of these. Ephesians 3, verse 16. Thinking about growing and pressing forward. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So we have tremendous promise in the Scripture, and I am very encouraged this morning. Maybe this comes across as a warning. It wasn't so much that on my heart, probably. It may be somewhat, but questions in my heart. How do we? I think Brother Barry maybe shared the answer to it this morning. It's by the power of God. How can it's a work of God, and we know that. We don't have to be discouraged about lack of repentance in the world around us. We can just preach the word. We can be faithful and be a good wineskin, be a new wineskin ourselves. So may God bless you.